am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin. Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%. I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, 86 confirmed COVID cases yesterday in three states. 52 cases in Lagos alone, because the Lagos data is actually for 2 days combined. 31 cases in Ondo. So as you can see, this thing is still with us. So please don't stop taking your precautions. Limit your movement when you must go out to work or to buy essentials. You have to wear a mask, right? Wear a mask, keep your distance from people, and wash and sanitize your hands. Second hard fact of the day, 80 million. That's the number of COVID vaccines that the US government plans to distribute to the rest of the world, including Nigeria, by the end of the month. They've already delivered 25 million of those vaccines, and now they are saying that the remaining 55 million will be out by the end of the month. 10 million of these vaccines are reserved for Africa, including Nigeria. Then there's another 14 million reserved for a short list of countries, and again, Nigeria is on that list. So we'll be getting American vaccines from two separate shortlists. We still don't have a hard number for how many of those 24 million doses from the two lists will come to us. But we'll keep our eye on that story. And as soon as I know, you will know as well. Third hard fact of the day, 500 million. That's the number of vaccines that the U.S. government has committed to buying and donating to the 92 poorest countries in the world. And again, that includes Nigeria. Now, there's no timeline on those half a billion vaccines, but the Biden administration says that it has already put aside the money for that commitment. And speaking of vaccines, Lagos, if you got your first dose earlier in the year, but you haven't gotten your second dose, I want you to tell me why. Why you never do? I'm waiting to happen. Is it village people that called your name Isai Calabash? Your vaccine is waiting for you. The health centers are almost empty. I went there and I got my vaccine. If you're watching us on our live right now, you can see me getting my vaccine. We're streaming live on Nigeria Info 99.3. That's Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. You can actually see me getting my second dose. So now I'm fully 5G activated. But seriously, like, I went to get my second dose and I was surprised by how there was no crowd there. Like, people were not there. All the people who were trying to break down the gate the day I got my first dose, nowhere to be found on the day we were all supposed to get our second dose. So just go there, show them your card, get your vaccine. It's so easy now. Huh? All right. Fourth hard fact of the day, 7 years in prison. That's a sentence that the FCT High Court passed on Farouk Lawan today for bribery. Remember, Lawan used to be a member of the House of Reps? Back in 2012, he was the chair of the House Committee probing fuel subsidy fraud. And he demanded a $3 million bribe from Femi Otedola to remove his company from those that are being probed. And Otedola reported him to the SSS. SSS set up a sting operation with $500,000 in marked bills and hidden cameras. Lawan took the cash. He was arrested. He was tried. He was found guilty. And now he's been sentenced. 7 years. That story broke before I came into the live studio. Now, Lagos, if you are part of the 1 million Lagosians who listen to this show, you cannot be wrong. Thank you so much for tuning in every day. I have a great show for you today, starting with the Big Three, where President Buhari is setting up a team to negotiate with Twitter. Then we'll talk about the daylight robberies here in Lagos. It seems that the robberies are getting, the robbers themselves are getting bolder and bolder. There was a shooting, it was more shocking, you know, so there was no shooting. I'm not sure what we're seeing from the CCTV footage. We're not quite sure if somebody was shot. I'll show you that footage as we get into the second story on today's Big Three. But that one was caught on camera. It was so shocking. And it happened at a barber shop on Lagos Island, close to Ibosheri High Court. And then we'll talk about a ride-hailing driver whose passenger refused to pay and threatened him with arrest. We're going to talk to the driver himself at 3:40 or so. So let's talk about that some more and some of the problems that ride-hailing drivers face. Ezekiel will join us before the show is over at 4 o'clock today. For this segment of Hard Facts is over at 4 o'clock today. Now, remember, we're streaming live on Facebook. I have a lot to show you on our live stream today, so I recommend you watch. Live stream is Facebook Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. Chikwudi will bring you Community Report today, as always. And on the Big Hard Fact, we're going to talk about the state of Nigeria's democracy. I'll be joined by Kola Abiola. He's the son of MKO Abiola. He'll be joining us at 5 o'clock. And as usual, you get the latest updates from business, sports, and other news at the top of every hour. But right now, let's get into the Big Three. I am Sandra Ezekwesili Lagos. Welcome to the show.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Will the federal government and Twitter come to an agreement? Is the security situation in Lagos getting worse? And how often do passengers try to cheat ride-hailing drivers? Those are your Big Three, Lagos. Let's talk. Our first story is President Buhari setting up a committee to negotiate with Twitter. Remember, the executive told us that Twitter had reached out to them to start talks on ending the ban. And now the presidency has announced that the team that will represent them is at talks. So they've got the chairman of the committee, who is Lai Mohammed, the information minister. And then they also said that Attorney General Malami is on that team. Minister for Communications and Digital Economy, Issa Pantami, is on that team. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Geoffrey Onyama, is on that team. The Works and Housing Minister, Babatunde Fashola, is on that team. And the Labour and Employment Minister, Chris Ngige, is on that team. So this is the team that will negotiate a way forward with Twitter. I want to know what you think about the composition of that team. First of all, do you think the president has sent his top squad? What do you think about this squad showing up, pulling up? Chee-chee! Is this the presidency's first 11, as it were? And second of all, do you believe that this negotiation was always the plan? Do you think that that was always the plan? Anyway, that's what the executive is up to. Meanwhile, the legislature is looking into the ban. The House of Reps opened public hearings into it this morning. Remember that 2 weeks ago, the reps resolved to investigate the matter and come back to it within 10 days. And in fact, the speaker was talking about summoning the information minister to appear. It doesn't seem like Lai Mohammed has appeared today, though. I don't know. And you also remember, of course, that the PDP members walked out during that session because they wanted the House to condemn the ban right away. So we're watching that public hearing and we're seeing what the House of Reps will do after that, even though I don't know if they'll do much because we hear that they were chased out of plenary because their roof started leaking. It leaked so bad that the legislature was flooded and so they all had to take cover. Makes you wonder where all the money for refurbishing the National Assembly complex goes to. But away from that, the executive and the legislature have done their bit and the judiciary is also in the news. On the judiciary side, more Nigerians are dragging the matter to court. Monday Obani is suing the federal government. He's suing the information minister and and the Attorney General at the Federal High Court. Ubani is a former vice president of the Nigerian Bar Association, and he's challenging three things. Number one, the suspension of Twitter in general. Number two, the order from the federal government to telcos and ISPs to stop serving Twitter to customers, including Ubani himself. And number three, the order from the AGF to the Department of Public Prosecutions to go after any Nigerians using Twitter. Ubani's lawsuit says that without a court order, all three actions violate his constitutional right as a Nigerian to freedom of expression and exchange of ideas. Now, of course, Ubani's suit is not the only one. I already told you about Inibehe Effiong, who sued the federal government at the High Court. And then we have a bunch of lawsuits at ECOWAS Court. Serap has gone there. Now more cases have come to ECOWAS Court as well, from Premium Times, from Paradigm Initiative, from Media Rights Agenda. So, Omo, we're all going to be watching all these cases to see how they break. But interesting times, interesting things going on. The question now is, how will this ban end? Will it end with the negotiation between the executive and Twitter? Will it end via some action from the National Assembly? Or will it end by court order from one of these many lawsuits? Meanwhile, the other big talking point is, how is the Twitter ban affecting businesses and jobs in Nigeria? There's a concern that a lot of social media handlers and content managers may be out of work. So let me explain something. For example, take the phone maker Itel. Itel has announced that its Twitter handle for Itel Nigeria will now be handled by its Ghana social media team. That's because they want to keep tweeting for Nigeria without violating the ban. Now, in practical terms, this means that the Itel Nigeria Twitter team have lost their jobs to the Ghana team. It could be temporary, it could be permanent, and the question is, if the Twitter ban lasts for a couple of months or longer, will those jobs come back after the ban is lifted? The second question is, how many more companies will do the same thing that Itel has done and shift the work from Nigeria to Ghana? And then the third question is, what is happening to all those social media handlers right now? How are they making a living right now? So this first story on today's Big Three is very packed, so many angles. Feel free to chop the beef from anywhere you want. I want us to talk about the cost-benefit analysis of the Twitter ban. Has it been worth the direct impact to jobs and to businesses? What do you think about the president's team for the Twitter negotiations? What do you think about the ongoing public hearing at the House of Reps? What's your take on all the lawsuits at the Federal High Court and the ECOWAS Court? How will this Twitter ban end? Do you think it will be by negotiations from the executive or by legislation from the legislator, legislature or by court order from the judiciary? I love this story. I love all the angles. And has the impact on businesses and jobs been justified? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Women, 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, 0700-993-993-993. We've got a first-time caller from Aja. His name is Adebo. All right, thank you very much for calling us, Adebo.
Good afternoon, ma.
Good afternoon, sir. Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead, you're live on the show. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, ma. Mm. What I want to say is about the presidential team.
Mm.
If you look at that team, mm-hmm. there's no youth among them.
Okay.
And social media belongs to the youth. These old men, they what do they know about social media?
Mm.
What do they know about the impact and the economic effect of social media on the youth?
Mm.
They don't know anything. So at the end of the day, they are just going there to do nothing. What are they going to negotiate? Is it for Twitter to be paying the federal government or what? So I don't think this government have any plan for the youth. These old people that they will be representing us, what do they even know what the youth are going through? Do they even know what is going on social media? Do they know the business aspect of social media? They don't know. So I'm not expecting anything good from them. Okay. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Adebo, thank you. You've said quite a bit. We've got Wale in Lekki. Hello, Wale. Thank you very much for calling us. Wale, hello.
Hello. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Welcome.
So, I won't be contributing on the first topic the Super 11.
Okay.
You see, when you send farmers to go and do the work of a soldier at the battlefront, what do you think will happen? Hello, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, I'm supposed to answer. I thought that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah. And farmers, war front, uh-huh. go and do the work of the soldiers to fight. Uh-huh. What do you think will happen?
They will. I don't know.
Don't have the mental capacity to take some information. You are sending in the gate that doesn't care. People that are over 50 that don't know what the impact of social media is doing to the younger generation. People that you still have to help them open WhatsApp, how they call it.
What's up?
People that you still have to help them to configure WhatsApp on their own. They're sending them to go and delegate to talk to people that are technologically advanced. How old is Jack? If they don't know. Jack is not even up to 45 yet. And you're sending ancient people. You're sending our ancestors to go and defend us. It is sad in this country that we do not know what and what to do. Minister of Information that doesn't even have information. On the second story of the house of, I don't know which one is leaking.
Yes, National Assembly.
National Assembly. Mm. The one that they renovated for 37 billion. Do you know what 37 billion can do for Nigerian youth? You know the kind of job they can create with 37 billion? Do you know the amount of jobs Twitter is creating for people? As you said, they've moved some people's job to Ghana now.
Mm.
Now, those people that were depending on that job before now have to depend on somebody else. And guess what? Probably they're telling them, don't take that job. Or what you're doing, you say you're working, you're doing Yahoo, you're sitting on a laptop. Because these people, they don't just get it. Even our parents don't just get it. They feel that I think the federal government should just ban WhatsApp first. Instagram, Facebook. Yes!
Ah.
It will affect everybody there. Because Twitter, they feel it's just Twitter. What is Twitter? They don't even know what Twitter is. But if they ban WhatsApp, they cannot talk to their family outside the country. Because with WhatsApp, you can call anybody. Even Instagram, you can call outside the country. With it. By the time they ban all these things, everybody will go to the streets.
Wale, thank you very much for calling. Oladipo is in Orile. Oladipo, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sandra.
Good to have you on the show.
This is Pastor Oladipo calling from Orile.
Good to have you on the show.
Now, you see, this government, I just want to thank God that the time is running fast. Though these 3 years look like eternity, but very soon it will be over. Because I can't understand why they will be sending these men who don't even understand the rules of Twitter.
I mean, we have Issa Pantami there. He's the Minister for Communications and Digital Economy.
Which of them? The one that was using Arabic television station to air. In fact, we have made this mistake, and I believe that God will give us grace to just go through it.
Well, come on. Pastor Oladipo, yes. we have Babatunde Fashola there. He's a lawyer. He's a brilliant mind. We've got Geoffrey Onyama, who is Harvard educated, on this team.
Have you seen their position? All of them, have you seen their position recently on these same issues? Mm. It tells you, see, there's even between somebody having an understanding of how things work mm-hmm. and somebody being educated is two different things.
Right.
See, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. If they understand the rules of engagement about this particular Twitter, we will not be disgracing ourselves internationally like the setting up committee. Committee for what? To go and talk to Jack. Ha. Ugao. Now, let me tell you lastly, this issue of National Assembly that is leaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pity that some men, they've made up their mind that they must eat Nigeria dry. Bless you. You see this leakage now? It's another conduit pipe for money to go out again.
All right, Oladipo, thank you very much for calling. I should tell you, news just in, ECOWAS court stops federal government from prosecuting Nigerians from using Twitter. That's a breaking story that just dropped. We've got also Serap tweeting, well, posting it on Facebook, that the ECOWAS Court of Justice Abuja, in a landmark ruling, stopped the Buhari administration and its agents from intimidating, sanctioning, arresting, or prosecuting anyone for using Twitter in Nigeria, pending the final determination of the suit. So we'll keep following that story. It just broke. As soon as there's more to that story, we'll be sharing it with you as well. Okay, all right, let's move on to our second story. We'll talk to Daniel very quickly, then move on to our second story. Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Yes, talking about this, our Super 11 that the federal government have selected to
Daniel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
That has been their plan before to negotiate. But my joy is that this is not a Nigerian company and they will not come down to their terms and conditions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, for calling. Now, our second story is a daylight robbery caught on camera here in Lagos. If you're watching us on Facebook at the moment, I'm showing you the footage from that robbery. It happened at a barber shop in Igboshere, right behind City Hall, in the middle of the afternoon. This thing was happening around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. People were going about their day, cutting their hair, getting their hair cut. Manicurists were working on nails, pedicurists were working on foot. Then suddenly, robbers burst in armed with pistols. They seized everybody's cash. They seized everybody's cash. They seized everybody's phones. They took valuables. One of the young men who tried to fight one of them was macheted. If you're watching our live stream on YouTube, I'm showing you footage of the robbery. The barbershop had CCTV installed, and the CCTV caught some of what happened. Now, that footage is circulating on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm also guessing it's been circulating on WhatsApp as well. In the past, when Twitter wasn't banned, such a video would have been circulating on Twitter as well. And we've seen in the past that Twitter users appear to be very quick at discovering clues and solving crimes and identifying suspects. We saw it with the murder of Inyo Moring. The suspect, who is currently in custody, was first identified on Twitter during NSAS protests as well, when the protesters were first attacked by men who had machetes and clubs. It was Twitter users who identified some of them. So there are some opponents of the Twitter ban who say now more than ever the platform is needed because of how its community has been particularly good at responding to ongoing crimes. But that's an aside. Back to the story, back to the security situation itself. Are you seeing what I'm showing you on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, YouTube Nigeria Info FM? Are things getting worse in Lagos? This thing happened on the 20th. 20th was what? A Sunday? Broad daylight, Sunday, 2 p.m. This was happening. A barber shop. Are things getting worse in Lagos? 3 weeks ago, we saw robbery gangs operating on Eko Bridge night after night with impunity. Last week, my intern Kemi shared her terrible experience with you, how she was almost robbed in public transport. She entered one chance. We had Governor Sanwo-Olu talk about the situation, and he told Lagosians, oh, take more precautions, roll up your windows when you're in traffic, don't look at your phone while you're walking on the street. But you, as a Lagosian, I wonder, do you feel that the security agencies and the state government are doing what needs to be done to checkmate the insecurity? This was on a Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. Watch it on our Facebook live stream, Nigeria Info 99.3. We've got YouTube as well, Nigeria Info FM. What do you think is behind this rise in crime? Especially when you remember that on the June 12th, in Lagos, when people came out to protest, we saw heavy policemen on the streets, armed on the streets, trying to stop protesters from protesting. So surely it can't be because we're lacking security agents now. So what is behind the rise in crime? Is it the economic situation? Is it because people are poorer now? Are there some other systemic issues at work? I don't know. What's causing this? Talk to me, Lagos. What are your thoughts on this daylight robbery that you're watching on our live stream? Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Are criminals becoming bolder? How do you rate the responsiveness of the security agencies and government? Women, call me on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Sorry about that. Call me back if you can. 99.3.
Good day.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Aguma.
Welcome, Aguma.
Now, as what we see now is a symptom of a failed state. And I fear more of a group of sheep led by a lion than a group of lions led by a sheep. As it's like a group of lions, intelligent youths and what have you, call them the lions, led by a sheep, the political class. And so this is, and they don't want to learn, and this is what you see. Now, it's not that we don't have solutions. The solutions to all the problems that we have are virtually in our hands, but opportunity to allow those that are capable to do the job is what is lacking in this country. Now, you recall the other day that they asked for the people that kidnapped asked for hundreds of okadas to be given to them. My daughter, who is 11 years, said, why can't we install tracker and give them this thing? We can easily track them. And so the government don't have it. That idea is lacking, or they know they don't want to. So these are problems. I'm talking about my 11. I didn't even think about that. My daughter gave that advice. I say, I wish you can go up to the presidency and give them this advice, because it's simple. So these are what we have. And then I pray that people are saying 2 years is nearby. How many people die in a day? Multiply them by 365 years times two. You know that these 2 years remaining is like an eternity, as someone said. So we are in a one chance, unfortunately, nobody seems to be knowing. The mountain is on fire. Nobody's running. So that is where we are in.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3.
Yes, yeah, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
People are not happy. Like I said, the president, please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. You can do it. 2 years or days is not entirely anything. Before you know it, we are in 2023. He can still do something. You know, I shared my own story. I take precaution. Last Sunday when I was going home, I was looking any car with ash color. My eyes would go on their license plate. Look at the one that happened in Tiboshire, you said. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. People are not happy. The police is nowhere to be found. Yeah? So I'm begging the man, he can still do it, please. Nigerians showed you love. Come out in mass and voted for you. And President Sandra, I have a question for you. How come nobody, all these brain, good brain, how you call them, learned and whatever people, how come they did not see this in that 2016? How come they succeeded in deceiving every one of you, because I'm not part of you? Day one, Dan Foster asked me, what do you say about it? I said, this man cannot. He cannot. But if he wins the presidency, I will still keep him my one cover, which I've been doing. He told me the other day that he will do more listening, but I sense he's not listening. To be a good leader, you have to be a good listener. Look at the cry. Everybody's crying. Things are difficult. Look, the people they assemble now. You hear our people say first 11, I mean, what they call that group. Like you asked, Unyema them, Fajola them. They are there, all these things are happening. President Buhari, I'm begging you, Nigerians are afraid of you. They should respect you as a president, not to be afraid of you. You are not doing yourself any good when you leave office. 2023 is just around the corner. I don't believe it's an eternity or what this is. No. Nigerians should learn their lesson now. Come 2023, we put our heads together and do the right thing. Thank you, President Sandra.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
How are you? Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Alex. How are you?
Your name is?
Godwin Ezekiel.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. Yeah.
No, Ezekiel, hold on. I'm going to come to you. Ezekiel, hold on. I'll come to you. It's not time yet. Hold on. Just stay, hold on.
Everything you've mentioned, Sandra, is only one thing I see in it. It's a lack of leadership.
Okay.
You see, in this part of the world, our people think that exercising power is the same thing as providing leadership. They are two different things.
Okay.
But see, time and time again, you find out that they lean towards exercising power. For instance, why don't you pick somebody who has a real life, real time experience on Twitter to be part of that team? Why don't you pick people who have real life experience on Twitter? But you go to, I heard you say people are Harvard graduates and this and that. Mm. It's not the certificate that this discussion requires.
Mm.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. It needs leadership. It needs people to see and say, okay, which is the best foot we should put forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then for people who say that 2 years, we have 2 years mm-hmm. to go, or how many more days to go?
Mm-hmm.
I beg Nigerians not to think like that.
Okay.
Our politicians are not humble enough to realize that when people hold the microphone in front of them, they are not first to give their opinion. They are first to tell us what the people want. Your opinion comes last. They say this man is not, this is how the man is, so let's just wait for 2 years. Suppose the next one comes with the same mindset, are we not in trouble? We should teach our politicians to talk more on what the people want. Eh, Sandra?
Hmm?
That's my own take, oh.
Thank you for calling to share it, oh. Let's go to WhatsApp, where we've got a message with no name and says, the entire APC government is totally confused. What do they know about Twitter at their old age? Everyone keeps saying 2 years more, 2 years more. Have you all forgotten that they will still rig it as usual? That's a message from Tessie. Tessie, thank you so much for your message. Sandra, the FG team is going there to tell Twitter to deactivate the account of Nnamdi Kanu, which Twitter will refuse to grant, and then some people will continue to blame Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala for supporting Biafra agitation. Nothing will come out of that jamboree. Victor from Ijegun. Thank you, Victor, for your message. For the record, Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala has not said anything, one word or the other, about Biafra. That's a lie that somebody just went on TV to spew. AB says, this breakdown of security in Lagos started since NSARS. Police are demoralized, police arsenals looted, many police were killed. These are the results, even though the police were not doing well. AB says, I see. So demoralized because of NSARS, but not demoralized enough to come out to quell another protest. I see. Good day, Madam Sandra. Please, okay, we've got more people who are sending us messages. Eventually, I reported for now, next to 30 days. What are you talking about? Please, let's grab that. Kinny. Oh my God, you really think you can come on my show and troll me? You're lucky I haven't blocked you on WhatsApp. We've got more people who are sending us messages. I was almost robbed at Bariga last week about 9 p.m. A short guy came and said, give me money, and he was coming close to me. I told him I have nothing but 50 naira. Before I knew what was happening, another guy came. He hung around saying, give us money. They said, do I want to run? The other guy now raised his clothes. Behold, I saw a knife and a gun. but they left me. Many people around the place later said that it was God that saved me. I don't go out with my Android phone, especially at night. All right, thank you very much for your message. You didn't leave your name, though, but thank you for sending us your message. Sandra, is Twitter inventor, is the Twitter inventor a youth? The world is advancing and your parents are advancing so that you wouldn't know more than them. Don't insult the elders. Okay, I guess he's talking to the listeners who said that the Special 11 are too old to have a meeting. We've got Steve Oferej in Ijaniki who says the formation of the team sent to Twitter is a clear message that the government is there to carry on in the manner different from real democratic ideals. More than 90% of the members are all having a mindset, or so we can predict the outcome. Can we really predict the outcome? We've got Chinedu from Amuwa who says Niger Super Best 11 lying Gige Fashola Pantami, we have seen it all. I didn't know that Super 11 will catch on. Jesus Christ, it was not put me in trouble. If the governor had measured the loss to benefit ratio of banning the use of Twitter, if the government, I think that's what you meant to say, they would have given it deeper thought. If they think some people are using it again, the country are using it against the country, why not employ hundreds of youth to start tweeting something positive about the country? At least play the game. All right, that's a message from Sheyi Joseph. Sheyi Joseph, thanks for your message. Let's bring you our third story on the show today, our final story, really, and then we'll take all your calls, all your thoughts on this subject. Our third story is a face-off between a ride-hailing driver and his passenger after she allegedly refused to pay her fare. Now, if you follow Balogun and Broad here on Hard Facts, you know that we've been talking a lot about the business experience of ride-sharing drivers and partners. Balogun and Broad is our business show every Wednesday at 5. If you've never listened, you need to start listening. But back to this story. In fact, you know what? Let me play you the recording that the driver made during the quarrel. If you're watching on Facebook, I'll play the footage for you on Facebook. Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. If you're not watching on Facebook, let me play the audio for you and then we'll talk to the driver.
If she requests me from Banana Island. She requests me from Banana Island. She requests me from Banana Island. She told me she's going to number 13 Gerard. Number 13 Gerard, on number 13 is before the roundabout. So on her way going, she was on call. There's car behind me. She just said, okay, stop. There's car behind me. I said, madam, you're putting her life in danger. I now park well. When I park well, she was on call. She just opened the door, start walking. I said, madam, you haven't paid. She start walking. I now touch her. I said, madam, you haven't paid. She said, I'll call the police for you. How dare you touch me? How dare you touch me? And I said, but you haven't paid. And you put wrong address, you say number 13. On our way going, this express, and you was on call. You can't just hit the car and say, stop like that. I now said, okay, pay me. She said she's not going to pay. I said, for what reason? She said, because I touched her. I now said, but as I stop, as it means you say, end the trip, how much? You pay me. There won't be problem, but you open the door, you start walking out. And I say, you haven't paid, you don't respond.
Why did you do the video now?
Yes, because she threatened my life that she'll call the police for me, that this, that. She threatened my life. And this thing, I'll take it to both offices, and this thing will go to all social media. It's still on record. I have the right. She embarrassed me. She put my life in risk. She put my life and my car in risk. Look, this social media will take you, and they will arrest you. You put my life and my car in risk. For this fateful Monday morning, you say you'll call the police, your father is this, your mother is this. I don't care, I'm working for my money. You put number 13 and thank God the thing is on app.
We're joined now by the driver himself. His name is Ezekiel Godwin. Ezekiel, thank you so much for joining us on Hard Facts.
Hello, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. So like I said before the interview, first of all, I'm sorry that you experienced this while trying to do your job. But I have to ask, before she tried to leave the car, had you guys had any quarrel or disagreement at all during the ride?
No, ma. To be sincere with you, ma.
Mm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay. I'll be straightforward. I'm a full-time driver, and I have so many experience. And when she made the request from Banana Island,
I'm hearing you. Just go ahead.
When she made the request from Banana Island,
right?
When she charged me up to pick her from close 322. She said the last black gate on the left. Getting there, the last black gate wasn't the gate she came out from. She came out from another, the second to the last gate.
Right.
So when she whispered to me, when I saw her outside, she screamed at me, but I calmed down because I'm someone that has a lot of patience.
Okay.
You know, I won't be in this job for more than 6 years.
Okay.
So when she gets inside the car, I politely greet her and say, can we go now? She said, yes. And I told her I want to start the trip.
Okay.
She said, go ahead. I start the trip. I see number 13 Alexander Avenue.
Okay.
Of Gerard. And I confirm from her, 13 Alexander Avenue. She said, yes.
Okay.
On our way going, when we get to Gerard Road, after Coca-Cola, she was on call from Banana Island Day.
Right.
Get to Gerard Road. She asked me that, stop, I want to drop here.
Right.
So I quickly look at my central mirror.
Right.
I saw some cars behind me because that Gerard Road, there's no speed bump, so cars used to run anyhow.
Right.
So when I look at my central mirror, I saw cars close to me. So I quickly tell her, madam, this is risk. I can't stop here. Let me park well. That's what I said.
Okay.
So she hitting the car that I want to stop here. So I managed to park well. When I parked well, immediately the Coca-Cola, she opened the door because she was sitting behind. When she opened the door, she walked down, she started going.
Okay.
And she was on call. So I opened the driver door. I think, madam, you haven't picked me. She keep going. So I ran up to her. Then I touched her hand.
Mm-hmm.
She said, madam, you haven't seen me. She hit me on my chest and said, how dare you touch me? By then, I hadn't started making the video.
Okay.
She said, how dare you touch me, you dirty driver.
Okay.
To be sincere, let me be straightforward. If anyone that have entered my car before, they will know who I am. I won't say about me, but the people that have used my service to speak about me.
Mm.
He said, how dare you touch me.
Hmm.
So I said, but you haven't seen. She kept walking. So I was guiding her. I didn't touch her. I was guiding her not to go. She was hitting me there. We have two securities. I hadn't sent the second video.
Okay.
The second video will speak the whole truth. Those securities saw her fighting me when I was guiding her.
Hmm.
She said, how will I touch her that? Did I know who she is? Did I know her father?
Hmm.
That she would pay because I told her. I know, but as I see the trip, you could have paid me before you drop, or you could have told me to wait. You are coming. But since you didn't pay, I have the right to stop you to pay me. So she kept walking.
Hmm.
So she was threatening to call the police that I didn't know her father, I didn't know her mother, that she will call the police, they will arrest me, they will deal with me, and both will not do anything.
Hmm.
That's what make me bring out my phone. I now make the first video. She now ran away. So I followed her to her gate. Thank God her elder sister came out. When her elder sister saw me, her elder sister called my name, Ezekiel, because her elder sister has taken a ride with me 2 years ago, and she knows me.
Hmm.
Her elder sister asked what happened. As I was explaining, she was trying to fight me. I now start making the second video.
I see.
That second video that goes viral. So when I was making the second video, the security at the gate come out with multi say, and now say what happened. I explained myself. The security now said they should pay me the money and I should delete the video.
Mm.
I give them a condition. I if they pay me, I won't delete the video, because if I delete the video, if girl should report me, both will ask me, what is the evidence? Hmm. So I will delete the video. The video with me. If she reports me, I'll bring the video out. But if she didn't report me, I will delete the video.
Mm.
So the man was telling me that if I didn't delete the video, they wouldn't let me go.
Ah.
They drag with me. The man even introduced himself as a police officer, that he's the one guiding that girl father, that I didn't know the girl father and I didn't know the girl mother, that I didn't even have the right to touch the girl, that he will arrest me. And he would take me to the station and nothing would happen. So the man was dragging the phone with me. That's why I now send the video to the group that I belong to.
Mm.
They're all drivers. Ah.
Mm.
That from that group, before they send the video to Twitter. So when the Mopo was dragging with me, the elder sister and some people there were holding the man not to fight me anymore, because the man fight me and want to let the tire of my car. So when they were begging him not to fight me again, since I have the video, I quickly entered inside the car and drove off there. But before I left there, the sister asked me how much. I said 800 naira. The trip was 800.
All of this was happening over 800 naira?
The trip was 800. What happened is I took her from Banana Island and she took number 30. Alexander.
Hmm.
But on Gerard Road, she now decided to make a stop. And she asked me to stop. I can't stop that moment. I told her, let me pass well. That is what where the issue comes from. She was hitting me that I'm passing where she wants to stop. I said, but you need to see her on the address. We work with the app. I won't go much. If I want to say what we drivers are passing through, you will be shocked. I just need security. I need security. The app company doesn't have strong security.
Mm.
And a lot of challenge many drivers are passing through. To me, I'm a driver and an experienced driver. If any customer will enter my car and tell me that I'm not a professional, I don't think that driver, that rider will meet a professional again.
Okay, so tell me what has happened since that video went viral. Because I saw it on Facebook myself, and then I tried to find you, and then I got in touch with you. What has happened since the video went viral? What has happened next? And this experience you had today, is it something that happens to you often? Have you been in contact with Bolt? Has Bolt said anything about this interaction?
Well, immediate I end the trip, I sent email to Bolt. I explained everything. And Bolt asked me to send them the video. But I was trying to send them the video, the network was bad. And when the video goes viral, I didn't know who posted it on social media. When the video goes viral, different number was calling me since yesterday night.
Mm.
And they said I should send them my account detail. And I refused. Till now, I refused.
Okay.
I didn't send any account detail.
Okay.
Because I didn't know who they are. And I don't want anything that will lead me to where I will regret tomorrow. I'm not like trying to hurt her, but I'm to let her learn her lesson.
Hmm.
I'm a very patient person.
Hmm.
She can't even stop my wife.
Hmm.
She can't even stand my wife. Talk less about me.
Hmm.
And I know that if a man slaps a woman, that man is not a man.
Hmm.
And if a woman lay hand on a man 10 times, people will say, let's get to it. But if a man lay hand on a woman once, That thing would be very serious. And although I didn't know her father, respect to her father, respect to her mother.
Mm.
But that girl needs discipline.
Okay. Now, how often does something like this happen to you as a rider on Bolt?
Like this very case, I've never had this experience. Wait, I've had other experiences, but not serious like this.
Mm.
But a lot of riders, what I'm seeking for is security. I'll pick a rider.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, on our way going, after I left the line, getting to a checking point, the rider asked me to stop, revise. I can't revise. Because it's police in front of us. I can't revise. So I have to say, I can't revise. He now said, if anything happens, he's going to hold me responsible. So I drove past those police, so they didn't stop us. Immediately I drove past those police at K2 and he was going to alert Kerry. Immediately I passed Kerry, this rider told me that he would deal with me, won't pay me, that I put his life in risk. Why will he ask me to stop? I didn't stop. I said, but if I stop, if this police should stop, if my stop, I can't just stop. Why will you take a policeman, you tell me to stop and revive? When we get to the destination, this rider refused to pay me, and I tell him to pay me. He beat me up that night.
Oh, no.
His wife that come out and asked what happened, when I explained to his wife gave me the money. What he was hiding, he hid it under my feet. He was hiding some documents. And that night, he didn't take the document. The next day, I take the document to both. Both settled the matter. But this is wrong. We need security. Because a lot of riders will go with your money as a driver and both won't return that money to you.
Ezekiel Godwin, we would like to thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us on Hard Facts on Nigeria Info. And again, our sympathies about this experience that you've had. We do hope that sharing your story will go a long way towards protecting drivers from experiences such as this. Thank you so much, Ezekiel, for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. You've heard from Ezekiel. I want to hear from you. What do you think about this situation? What control measures do you think should be in place to prevent situations like this? WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Leave us messages on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Leave us messages on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Again, WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. If you just tuned in, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the Big Three on Hard Facts. Three of the biggest stories of the day. One of them, the experience of this driver with a rider he picked up. Don't go away.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk. You asked for it and it's back.
It's a round table here, special broadcast on Nigeria Info. We've got the entire team here.
Oh my God, the year of first. That's what 2020 has been. It's the year of first.
You're doing empowerment for youth. You give them bikes, you give them marijuana, and then years after, you tell them not to use them.
I feel like there's a huge disconnect between the government.
It's the Nigeria Info round table.
And the actual consequence of poverty in Nigeria.
These are debts that can be avoidable if we just do the right thing.
Or your favorite Nigeria Info presenters on air at the same time.
And the third person was an entrepreneur.
We missed the second person.
They all...
We missed the second
person. The first person, Sherry, I can send it to you on WhatsApp.
All the biggest stories from the first half of 2021. Analyzed by the biggest voices on radio.
I am Sherry Quadri, Lagos, Nigeria.
My name is Wemimo Adewunle.
You're hanging out with the Techest Steel.
My name's Joyce Onyemowo.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili.
Wait. 28th of June, Monday. Time, 9 a.m. Only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I'm really looking forward to this roundtable happening on the 28th of June. That's on Monday. Make sure you don't miss it. All of us on air at the same time. You asked for it. We're bringing it back. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Kofo, also an Uber driver, a driver.
Welcome. You've got 30 seconds.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say that, you see, the reason these app companies are like this, they listen to the riders more. You, when a rider, complains, the good thing to do is just for you to also talk to the driver, hear the driver's, the driver's side of the story before blocking them.
All right. Thank you very much. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello. Good evening. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon, Nigeria Info.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Abiodun is the name.
You've got 30 seconds, Abiodun.
Yeah, it's quite unfortunate, the scenario that man narrated. In Nigeria, the unfortunate thing is that the level of inequality had made some people think, you know, about other people as if they are less of human beings. And it's quite unfortunate. I just want to advise that every one of us, we have a responsibility.